Welcome to NFL Live. So glad you're with us on this Tuesday. It's the first day of September, and that means we're one day closer to football. Dan Orlovsky is here with me. You see Mina Kimes, you see Marcus Spears, and Adam Schefter joining us as well. We've got so much to get to today. Let's start right with Schefty and what's happening right now. After the Jaguars officially placed Leonard Fournette on waivers, teams had until 4 p.m., which is like seconds ago today, to claim him. That deadline has passed. And so, Adam, what is the latest with what's going on with Leonard Fournette?
Well, we will hear within minutes about whether or not Leonard Fournette will be claimed on waivers. We will bring you that information as soon as we get it, which should be here shortly. If he goes unclaimed, he's a free agent and can sign with any other team. I think there's some skepticism around the league that he'll be claimed, but all it takes is one team to pick him up. But we do have Bengal running back news with Joe Mixon, who reached agreement today with the Bengals on a four-year, $48 million extension. You'll remember that he had migraine headaches and recently missed some time. Well, those migraine headaches have now cleared up because he's going to sign that contract and he's going to be well paid. And meanwhile, in New Orleans, the Saints are dealing with an unsettled contract situation with Alvin Kamara. As we get closer to the season, you see Joe Mixon get done. Kamara wants to get his deal done. We'll see whether the Saints and Kamara can figure it out. He's been away from the team. It has not gone the way both sides would like. They're trying to resolve that right now, Laura.
Yeah, more on that to come later in the show. And Schefty with us all show long. Back to our top story. It was a tumultuous 3 years for Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville. Suspensions, fighting, fines, and disagreements shaded his time in Duval. And yet his 666 rushes over the past three seasons is the fifth most in the NFL behind some really good backs. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Derrick Henry, and Joe Mixon, who just signed that extension. Schefty, I want to go back to you because there's a clarification needed here with Fournette's money and what he's owed. It's said that the Jaguars owe him a little over $4 million right now, but what do we know about what's actually guaranteed here and what money would be owed to Leonard Fournette?
Laura, this is expected to wind up in a grievance. So right now, the Jaguars don't owe him anything. And if a team claims Fournette on waivers here, and we should know in a matter of moments, they would pick up that contract, but the guarantees have been voided by Jacksonville. That's expected to go to a grievance. So there's still a lot that's unsettled financially for Leonard Fournette.
All right, we're going to be paying attention to Schefty and his phone to see if anyone does end up claiming Leonard Fournette. But Marcus, when you look at the market for Fournette, and you know him well, you've covered him for years, you know him from your time at LSU, what is he in the NFL? Is he still a productive running back in this league?
Yes, absolutely. He's still a productive back. And this may be, as we look over the rest of Leonard Fournette's career, this may be the best thing that happened to him. We may point back to the fact that he was released by Jacksonville as a pivotal moment in his career. Look, Laura, this is still a back 2 years ago that was considered by his peers the 58th best player in the entire football league. He's big, physical, punishing back. And listen, people that lined up against the Jacksonville Jaguars knew that the most devastating thing that could happen to them was them let Leonard Fournette get going. They were not worried about the quarterback spot. They weren't worried about the receiving core. They wasn't worried about Doug Marrone deploying some type of offense that was going to confuse him. They loaded boxes and they said, if we stop Leonard Fournette, we'll have to either live with Blake Bortles, Gardner Minshew, or briefly Nick Foles beating us. And that is some of why you saw his production go down. But this is still a really good back in the NFL in the right situation.
Marcus, you were right about defenses loading up the box. He faced a ton of eight-man boxes last year. Now, over the last couple of years, actually. Unlike a Derrick Henry, though, he didn't make the most of it. They mostly succeeded in stopping him. Now, that comes with a major caveat, which is that he was running behind a very bad offensive line in Jacksonville. He ranked 35th in yards before contact per rush and 6th in yards after contact. Now, that's an imperfect barometer, but it ain't good for your offensive line. So, yes, I do think he has something to contribute. I just don't like the value, you know, for $4 million. But on a veteran's contract, you know, a cheap bargain deal and a great and an offense where I think there's a better scheme fit for him, where he can be that physical downhill punishing runner as a complimentary piece, I do like him that way.
Yeah, Mina mentions, Dan, that this could maybe be a bargain or at least less than $4 million for Leonard Fournette. You've become more sold in his production over the past couple of days. Why is that?
Well, initially when the news broke, I was like, yeah, kind of predictable. He hasn't been what they thought he was going to be. And then in conversation with Marcus and Mina, kind of sold me a little bit more. I watched a little bit more tape. Listen, I agree that he brings value because we know he's going to be cheap. If you were a team that was going to pay him $4 million, you would have claimed him. We know he's going to be probably around $1 million. Then this becomes a no-brainer. Like, he's coming off of his best career as a pro last year, and he's averaging 4.3 yards per carry. It's a no-brainer. Now, a lot of people have pointed out, like, he's become a more of a pass-catching tailback. Let's just pause on that, okay? Because, yes, he caught more passes last year, but that's because Jacksonville had very little options to throw the football to. He didn't do a lot with it. It's not like he's become a Christian McCaffrey type of wide receiver or a receiver out of the backfield. So if you're going to tell me somebody's going to get Fournette for $1 million, 30 teams in the NFL should be interested in that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be the right fit for the right number.
Okay, you mentioned fit. Let's get to that. Oh. Mina, who is the best fit for Leonard Fournette? What team would you go with here?
Well, again, at $1 million or less, a lot of teams are a good fit for him. It's so important to consider value when we talk about this. There are teams across the league that need running backs, frankly, Washington, Chicago. There are teams with injuries. But how about New England? I know that's a crowded backfield, and granted, some of those running backs like James White and Rex Burkhead are used specifically for change of pace. But we know this team wants to run the football this year, and I think he gives them more than Sony Michel does. Mm.
Two places. I got Tampa Bay because that will put him in a system and a scheme, not only with a team that's primed to win, but also his first time probably playing against boxes that won't be stacked. And you can really get a good barometer of how devastating he can be if he's just facing normal boxes and getting to second levels fast as far as linebackers are second. And then my other place is Pittsburgh. I mean, you think about how Pittsburgh wants to be as a football team, physical, downhill. Connor suffered some injuries, but they ran the football with him in a physical way. You don't want Ben getting hit. You want guys that's been in this league to protect him as well. I think that would be a good landing spot for him as well. So Tampa and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I love you guys. You're both wrong. It should be the Eagles. Yeah, like the Eagles, when they went on their Super Bowl run, who did they have? They had LeGarrette Blount, right? And so they've got Miles Sanders, who's going to be an outstanding player. He's a little nicked already. But their backup is Boston Scott. Awesome story. Good player last year. But if you tell me that Leonard Fournette gets to be my backup tailback, now I feel like, okay, I am keeping pace with all those NFC teams. So this is no-brainer for me. The Eagles should make this call and bring Leonard Fournette in on the cheap.
Maybe a theme for today. I think a lot of this just has to do with the running back market and their value in the league right now. 95% of running backs drafted from 2014 to 2016 are no longer with the team that originally drafted them.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Glad you're with us today. And Earl Thomas remained unsigned. So naturally, people keep wondering if he'll end up with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones was asked about it this morning on the radio. And see if you can decipher this.
Discussions directly with Earl, I have not had any. He's an outstanding football player. And we're sitting here at personnel time and we're looking for ways to get better. He would be one of several that we would discuss during this particular time as we finalize this roster. And, you know, it would be a misleading thing to say that we haven't discussed him. It'd be a misleading thing to say that we have.
All right, we'll see if Adam Schefter can translate that for us in a second. But we're just 9 days away from the season, and with free agents having to pass the COVID protocols, time may be running out on signing someone to play week one. That's an important note in this time. Adam Schefter, let's look at some players, starting with Earl Thomas.
Listen, right now he's waiting for the right opportunity, Laura. It hasn't come his way yet. There hasn't been a lot of interest so far. I think he's preparing more for his grievance against the Baltimore Ravens, where there's $10 million at stake, than he is preparing for the 2020 season. At some point, somebody's going to need help at the safety position, but that point hasn't come just yet. And so no job yet for Earl Thomas. No job for Jadeveon Clowney. Now, the interesting point here with Clowney and Thomas is both players have to pass through COVID protocols, which could take 3 or 4 days. So if you want that player to play in the opening game, you'd have to get a deal done conceivably by the end of this week, early this weekend. And so that hasn't happened for Clowney or Thomas yet, which right now puts their status for the opener in jeopardy, but no deal imminent with either player.
Shefty also reporting that Saints running back Alvin Kamara has been an unexcused absence from the training camp since Friday. It's believed to be contract related. Kamara is scheduled to make $2.133 million in the final year of his rookie contract. Now, as a rookie in 2017, you remember it, Alvin Kamara ranked second among qualified running backs with 7.7 yards per touch. He's fallen outside of the top 10, though, at his position in each of the last two seasons, as his percentage of snaps in the slot in that time has also decreased. Now, reminder, the Saints have added Emmanuel Sanders, Taysom Hill, Tre'Quan Smith to the mix offensively, so maybe that factors in. And you've got to think that Kamara would be seeking a deal worth somewhere between the new deals signed during the offseason by Derrick Henry. That's $12.5 million. Christian McCaffrey on the higher end at $16 million. It's a large gap, though. So, Adam, what do we know at this point about Kamara?
You heard the running back numbers there, Laura, that you outlined. And, again, I think that whether it's Alvin Kamara or Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon in Cincinnati who got his deal done today, you don't want to be a running back headed into this year, the last year of a deal, without a new contract. And Alvin Kamara believes that he is sufficiently underpaid. He and the Saints have been discussing a new contract for weeks, all during the offseason. They're trying to see if they can get it figured out, but the sides have been far enough apart that Kamara has not been present at the Saints training facility much of the last weekend. Now, again, I'm told that he believes he was there. Other people believe he wasn't there. You believe what you want at that point in time, but there is a question about those absences. I was told they're unexcused absences. That was the exact phrase that was used to me yesterday. And so we wait to see if these two sides can resolve the issue in the interim. If they don't resolve it, then clearly he could be fined about $40,000 a day under the terms of the new collective bargaining agreement. If he's absent for 5 or more days, I think he would put the season in jeopardy in terms of it being an accrued season. So he might not be an unrestricted free agent. So there's a lot at stake here right now.
Very mysterious about Kamara's whereabouts. Now, Dan, when you think about what his value is, some of the numbers can be a little misconstrued based on how they've used him. So what do you think his worth is?
He's a paramount part of that offense. I mean, the Saints aren't going to be Super Bowl contenders without Alvin Kamara, and he knows it. Like, that, this team is win now, right now. They are built to win this year, right, especially with the financial aspects of their football team. So we showed the graphic of yards per touch, not catch, not rush, but combined, and then usage in the slot. The reason is because he was such a big pass-catching threat when they had Mark Ingram. They wanted them both on the field at the same time. And they've certainly used him less in the slot. His production has also gone down when he actually catches the pass. His rookie year was like 10.2 yards per catch, which is outrageous. And now it's down to 6.6. That's the number that points to me and goes, okay, are we using him in a different capacity than we did when he was younger? Or is he less productive when we are using him? That being said, they have to sign him. They cannot win the Super Bowl without him.
Wow. Marcus, what do you think about that?
I'm right there with Dan. I don't think this team wins a Super Bowl without him because of all of those elements that he brings to the team. But let's preface this conversation a little bit, because I think sometimes the running back situation as far as contracts get a little convoluted. It is pertaining to each club how valuable that specific position and guy is to the success of your offense. So back to the point that Dan made, you pay Alvin Kamara if you are the Saints because he's paramount to your success offensively, which might not be the case for good running backs on other teams. They may, the usage, the way they use them may not amount to them seeing them being of that value, but Kamara is. And when you look at what Drew Brees loves to do, that is check downs, get the ball out of his hands when things aren't there. And to be able to check it down to a dynamic guy that can take it the whole distance is very important. So, yes, he needs to sign.
Okay, so, Mina, both Dan and Marcus say that Kamara is crucial to the Saints winning a Super Bowl this year. You said last week that the Saints are your pick at least to win the division. If Kamara does not play, does that change your mind?
It certainly makes it harder. Now, Latavius Murray actually outproduced Kamara last year. They added Ty Montgomery to the bunch as a pass catcher. But if he's the 2017 Kamara, he is, you know, like you said, he's a paramount part of that offense. And Marcus, I agree with you. When we're looking at running back contracts, we need to look at context, scheme. How is he used? Who is the back? How old is he? But we also have to look at cap. And I don't know if y'all have looked at the Saints cap lately, but it is ugly. Like, if the cap stays flat next year, we're talking negative $78 million in space. I did not misspeak when I said the word negative there. And for those who are unfamiliar with the way they've been doing things in New Orleans, basically, it's like they've been using credit cards to pay off credit cards. That's kind of how they ended up in this spot. And beyond that, they also have a bunch of really talented players coming up. Okay, both of their tackles, arguably the best tackle duo in the league in Armstead and Ramchick, Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, they got to pay all these guys. And that all has to be taken into account when they're looking at Alvin Kamara and how much to pay him.
Right, and they're doing that, though, guys. Marcus, Marcus, really fast. They're doing that because they're going for broke trying to win the Super Bowl, like, right now.
True.
Yep, so why stop it now? I was about to ask Mina, is negative $78 million good or bad? But why stop it now? Pay the man. You're already in a bad situation. Go ahead and pay him. You need him to win the Super Bowl. That's how I feel about it.
My thought would be this. Like, if you're negative 78 or negative 84, what's the difference? Like, if you are in that situation, if you're in that situation, but you're holding a Lombardi trophy, it's well worth it. We'll figure that out. So I think that Kamara knows that, and his reps know that. Like, the Saints have no choice. They will have to pay for Kamara to play this season, and they should.
All right, we'll keep you updated on the Kamara situation and so much more.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on NFL Live. Tons of news around the league, so let's get some quick reads. We begin with Adam Schefter. It's been about 26 minutes since the deadline passed for teams to claim Leonard Fournette. Anything happening, Schefty?
Well, here's the latest, Laura. He has not heard anything as of moments ago. Usually, if you get to this time on a day in which you can be claimed and you haven't heard anything, the chances are he's going to go unclaimed. It's still not official. There's a team that could call him and still notify him that he's been claimed. But so far, he has not gotten word that he has been claimed, which tells you that the chances are he's going to be unclaimed. But he did file a grievance against Jacksonville to try to recoup the $4.1 million in base salary that the team tried to void.
We'll keep an eye on that. Chargers safety Derwin James needs knee surgery and will be out 6 to 8 months, according to Shefty. Mina, how big of an impact will this have on the AFC West? That's Dan, and that's me. We're going to get to Mina momentarily, but either way,
I'll talk
Dan,
about the Chiefs.
You answer it.
This is a really big deal because the Chiefs are a dynasty in the making, and the three most important people you can have in your organization are your general manager, your head coach, and your quarterback. They have three of the best in the NFL, and they're all locked up long-term. This sets the Chiefs up to go on a really awesome run, and it's well-deserved.
Technical difficulties with Mina Kimes. We'll get her back momentarily, but Marcus, defensive end Yannick Ngakoue was traded to the Vikings. How does he fit Minnesota's defensive scheme?
Oh, it's a tremendous fit. Listen, I played for Mike Zimmer when we tried to convert to a 3-4 defense. That wasn't his calling card. 4-3 defensive ends that can rush off the edge is his calling card. Now he pairs Yannick with Danielle Hunter. And you look across that conference, Green Bay did it with the Smith brothers. You got Khalil Mack and Hakeem in Chicago. In that division, you have to get to the passer. And Minnesota just got tremendously better with a guy coming in that can rush the passer at an elite level.
Yeah, hard not to be wanting to buy some of the Vikings stock at this point. To Chicago we go, where Bears coach Matt Nagy had to backtrack on Monday, clarified he intends to reveal the identity of Chicago's starting quarterback sometime early next week, so we'll wait for that. Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles have been locked in a battle for the starting job throughout training camp, though. And this quarterback battle is fascinating. News out of Bears camp seems to be consistently that neither quarterback has separated himself. So here we are. 12 days away from the Bears' first game against the Lions. Mina is back. I'm so glad you're back. Dan, we start with you here. Why is Nagy being so secretive with who he's going to name as a starter?
Because there's no reason to right now. It's not necessarily game week. I mean, teams are still somewhat in camp, so it's not necessarily game week. There's no benefit to naming it. I will save everybody the surprise. Their starting quarterback is going to be Mitchell Trubisky, and it should. That being said, if he does not fix his one fatal flaw, he will be out of his job by October. Bad habits that lead to good results are still bad habits. I was around Calvin Johnson, who's a talented player. He's obsessed with fundamentals. Andre Johnson, talented player, obsessed with fundamentals. Peyton Manning, I was with him. Great player, obsessed with fundamentals. Mitchell Trubisky's a talented player, but his fundamentals need to become the focal point of what he is. And if it's not, he'll be out of his job by October.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like this was obviously years ago, but even in college, he didn't get that much experience, only started a few games there. Marcus, this Bears defense is still stacked, though, by the way. Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson, Danny Trevathan. I mean, the list goes on and on. What are these guys thinking about the quarterback situation?
That's why I ain't got time for what Dan talking about. All right, listen, put the guy in there. If Mitch Trubisky has outperformed Nick Foles in these camp practices, by all intents and purposes, start Mitchell Trubisky. But if he hasn't, and it's been even close, or Nick Foles with a little leading way, just to save face, you do not play Mitchell Trubisky, because not only does Matt Nagy have a responsibility to the quarterback position, he has a responsibility to a team. And we are not just talking about a pretty good defense. We're talking about a championship-level defense that if you play around with this quarterback position, could cost these guys an opportunity to play at a high level. So, listen, I get it. I get that you want to stay with your project. You went up and drafted him above some guys that you shouldn't have, and you want to make it right. Nick Foles should be the starter if he's leading the clubhouse, and he should be the starter because you brought him in to be an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky.
All right. Just in case you were living under a rock, those two guys you referenced that Mitchell Trubisky was drafted ahead of would be Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Mina's back, so you guys got to be quiet for a second here. Who do you go with, Mina, if you're deciding between these two guys?
This is such a depressing question. I just want to start there. Like, did you guys watch the Jazz Nuggets game on Sunday? And, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray going back and forth, electric. This is like the opposite of that, right? As a Bears fan, there's no good answer here because of the situation that Chicago, frankly, put themselves in. That said, you got to go with Foles because you know what you have with Trubisky. I mean, his average pass traveled 1.2 yards short of the first down marker. Dan, you can't win in the NFL that way. Now, Foles is streaky, we know that, but he's an NFL quarterback. And you can get an explosive element with him occasionally. He has good quick passing games, gonna make that offensive line look better. We know he's familiar with those coaches. He gives you hope, and you just don't have that with Trubisky at this point.
Listen, I understand that they didn't push the football downfield last year, 100%, but they didn't really have the people to do it. You got, Marcus, I need to clean your glasses a little bit. Mina, maybe the tech. Like, you guys are looking at Nick Foles through, like, this prism of the Super Bowl run Nick Foles. I love Nick Foles. Huge fan of his. He hasn't thrown more than 7 touchdown passes since 2013. Like, it's not like Nick Foles is going to get injected into this offense and all of a sudden they become the Rams from a couple years ago. They're very similar players. They don't turn the football over a ton. They're going to operate their offense. And neither of them are going to be very explosive. They need to use Mitchell Trubisky the same way the Ravens use Lamar Jackson. Let him be a runner. But this is Mitchell Trubisky's team. And until you go, he's lost the football team, he's your starting quarterback.
Marcus, real fast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I just, Dan know Nick Foles is a better option. I'm done.
No, I don't.
I'm done.
All right, well, somebody's got to be a better option because the Bears punted on 46% of their drives last season, which was worst in the NFL. Hey, Rob Gronkowski is still getting used to his new coach down in Tampa. He was asked today about Bruce Arians' colorful language. Take a listen to Gronk.
at first, it's like, wow, that was pretty funny if you're not receiving it. And then when you receive it, you're like, oh, shoot. Like, it's not as funny anymore. Well, I got to get better. I got to go out there and perform. You know, it gets motivating, though, for sure. I mean, when the head coach is getting on you, it motivates you. It's all for a good, positive way. I mean, it may be colorful language, but that's fine. It's a game of football.
I feel like he changed some of the words there. Okay, might be some mutual admiration here. Bruce Arians said the Buccaneers will utilize 12 personnel as their base offense in 2020, which features one running back, two receivers, and two tight ends. This will be an adjustment from last season as Gronk's arrival, and even more so Brady's, of course, brings a heavier emphasis on the tight end position. Dan, so many good options at tight end in Tampa Bay. Will we see them all on the field a lot?
Yeah, oh yeah. I expect the Buccaneers to live in 12 personnel. I'd say two things. Don't be surprised if they're in 13 a bunch, which is one tailback and three tight ends. Also, don't be surprised if they're in, I don't even know what, with three tight ends and two receivers on the field. No tailback. So those three tight ends, two receivers, spread people out. That would be the first thing. And then the second thing I would be is I expect Gronk to be playing more like a slot wide receiver than the traditional way we've seen him at the line of scrimmage, hand down in the dirt, blocking people as the lead, kind of point cut contact in their run game. You heard in that little clip right there when Tom Brady was in the shotgun, he's like, hey, get open, get open. That is something that Gronk has more than anybody else on that football team. He knows, Tom sees something. He's telling me something right now. He's talking to me in a different language. Get open, change my route just a little bit or whatnot. And so work the middle of the field, understand zone, man, color, space. Gronk knows that better than anybody on that football team right now. So I see him playing a little bit more of a slot receiver for Tampa Bay.
Mina, Gronk can be like a security blanket in a lot of ways, too.
100%. I'm so excited to say this sentence. Gronk's brain might be what he brings to the Bucs this season. And that's something you hear. Bill Belichick used to praise him all the time, by the way, for his football IQ, and he absolutely meant it. But it's what Dan described, that relationship with Tom Brady, his instinctive feel for finding the soft spaces in zone defenses. He is not the same physical specimen he was years ago. I mean, he could barely walk by the end of his career in New England. But what he brings mentally to this offense is going to play a huge role, especially early on in the season when Tom Brady's still finding his feel with the other receivers.
Yeah, Marcus, this has got to be like shades of some really successful Patriots offenses with a couple of good tight ends, too, for Tom Brady.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you think about on the field when Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez were starring. I mean, that was one of Tom Brady's best years, most productive years throwing the ball down the field. He understands how to operate with these guys. And O.J. Howard is that athletic tight end that can get down the field, create matchup problems. And to Mina and Dan's point, you look at Rob Gronkowski and how effective he can be at working the middle of the field. I was a part of this. I was a part of a quarterback and a tight end having as good of a relationship as any receiver and quarterback I've ever seen when I played with Romo and Jason Witten in Dallas. That is what this is reminiscent of. That's why Tom Brady wanted Rob Gronkowski in this offense, is because you have an unspoken language with guys that you've been doing it with for a long time. Now, coupled with the amount of talent that both of them have around them offensively, this thing could get scary.
Yeah, Tom Brady was sitting there like, all right, so where can I get Gronk to go? They've already got some good tight ends. This makes a whole lot of sense. He was like 17 steps ahead of the rest of us.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
New right now on NFL Live, Leonard Fournette officially has cleared waivers. Adam Schefter with the latest. What can you tell us, Schefty?
Well, that's exactly it, Laura. He did clear, went unclaimed. He's now a free agent, free to sign with any other team. So no team deemed it worthy to put a waiver claim in for a player who was the fourth overall pick in the 2017 draft. He's now an unrestricted free agent. And one other move, the Raiders have put wide receiver Terrell Williams on injured reserve.
All right. Thanks for that update, Shefty. You're sticking right with us. But time now for Big Truss.
Now, I'd just like to introduce y'all to the man, the myth, the legend, Lamar Jackson.
Look at this. Action Jackson.
The MVP front runner.
Lamar Jackson is a cheat code. He breaks the code.
He can do it all.
If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me. Big trust. Woo, woo.
Big surprise that Mark Ingram says big trust better than I do. New on ESPN.com today, our experts rank the top 100 NFL players as they project them for the upcoming NFL season. Important clarification there. No surprise, Patrick Mahomes is at the top of the list. You can see where the top 10 quarterbacks landed on the list. You see reigning MVP Lamar Jackson checks in as the second best quarterback and third best overall player in the league. Ravens offensive coordinator Greg Roman was asked how many designed runs we should expect for the third year of Lamar Jackson at the helm.
I think we'll all have to wait and find out. But I think it's something that we can do. And, you know, obviously Lamar's skill set and dynamic athletic ability, that's just something that we can have available every week and, you know, do a little bit more of it this week, a little less of it the next week. So I think that's always on the table, those type of things.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens set individual and team records with their rushing production last season, but could they be too reliant on their rushing attack? It could be a worthwhile question. With Lamar under center, Baltimore has ran the ball almost 10% more than any other team. So, Mina, when you think about this and what you do with Lamar Jackson, certainly health is involved here in making sure that his career is as long as possible, but do the Ravens need to call less designed runs for Lamar this season?
It depends who they're playing. I know that's kind of a cop-out answer, but that's what made this offense so deadly last year. If you sold out against the run, Lamar could pass. He ranked first in EPA per dropback from the pocket. And people say, well, that's because defenses were afraid of him running. Yeah, it helps. It's a skill he has. It works. I don't know how you look at this offense that ranked first both in rushing and passing efficiency and think, oh, this needs to change. Now, I do believe you can look at what happened in the playoffs and say, maybe this passing attack isn't quite equipped to play from behind. There are improvements that need to be made there, not just with Jackson, by the way, but with the receiving core. That is a completely reasonable critique of the Ravens' offense. But otherwise, this is a great offense. Don't fix what isn't broken.
Marcus, yeah. I think I heard you sighing there. Why are you sighing? What do you think?
Nope.
Go.
That was not to anything Mina was saying. That was not. I was just taking a deep breath, just getting ready for my conversation. That's all.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, now that you've taken your deep breath, take it away. What do you want to say about Lamar Jackson?
Yes. They should limit how much he ran compared to last year. Fortunately for Lamar Jackson, he has an elite ability to use his legs and create all of these mismatches and all of those things. But that doesn't go away if you plan to limit his running, the plays called for him to turn into a tailback. Listen, this for me is not only about Lamar Jackson development at the quarterback position as far as being able to win any type of game you want to play in, but it also is about his longevity in his career. No one, I don't think in their right mind, or at least people that follow football as close as myself, Mina, Dan, and you, Laura, would say Lamar Jackson doesn't need to have a healthy dose of running the football in order for his team to experience the amount of success that they did. But we also can sit here and acknowledge that the more and more, the odds are, if you continue to put your quarterback in harm's way, harm is going to come to him. I'm going to tell you, as a defensive player, if I'm playing Lamar Jackson, just like when I was getting ready to play Cam Newton or Michael Vick during my time when these guys were prolific runners, we all talked about the number one thing we got to do is take our shots at these guys, not to injure them, but to get hits and licks on them to slow them down. So I'm for limiting it and letting him throw the ball more.
So, I mean, would you tell Mike Tyson to go into the ring and, hey, you can't throw any uppercuts? LeBron, don't go to the rim anymore. Don't go to the rim anymore. Mariano Rivera, you are not allowed to throw a cut fastball. Like, why would you tell a player, this is what you do better than anybody in the world, we're going to have you do it less? That is how coaches get fired. Like, that is bad coaching. You mean to tell me that last year, 14-2, MVP of the league and did something that's never been done before and we should do less of it? But that is so misguided and would be the wrong thing that when they drafted Lamar, they knew what he was, potentially the best player on the planet. Do not run him less.
I'm glad you brought up the sport of basketball because I love it. And I just want to make an analogy, and I know Mina knows this as well. Mina, question for you. I'm going to turn it to the host. What is going to continue to make Giannis Antetokounmpo the best player in the NBA if he's ever going to be that guy?
His development as a shooter helps. Is that where you're going with
Period.
This, I feel like?
Period. All right.
You still go to That's the rim
it.
To win okay. games.
That's it. And
you
I'm
still
not
go
saying,
to the rim to win games.
And I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is for the success of the Baltimore Ravens, for the success and longevity of Lamar Jackson's career, you need to encourage his ability to throw the football from the pocket as he continues to go alone without taking away his running ability.
All right, so I'm going to take back the reins as the host here, but Marcus, you were great. Adam Schefter, what do the Ravens say about Lamar and his development as a passer?
Listen, they are very comfortable and pleased with exactly where Lamar is right now. And they went out and drafted J.K. Dobbins, who John Harbaugh today said should see significant playing time. And they have Mark Ingram, and they have more depth than that in the backfield. They've got a ton of people who can run the football around Lamar Jackson, who's a smart runner. There are certain quarterbacks who do it very well. Russell Wilson never, ever seems to get hit. And Lamar Jackson rarely takes a big hit when he's running the football. Other quarterbacks can't seem to do that. They can't get out of their own way. That's not the case with Jackson. Very smart about the way he runs.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you think about opposing defenses trying to face him. Who do you even have as your scout team quarterback try to play Lamar Jackson? Okay, our show is almost over, but I need one more thing from each of you before we go. Adam, you kick us off.
Big day for offensive tackles in the NFC North. Taylor Decker gets a 6-year, $85 million extension from the Detroit Lions, and the Minnesota Vikings restructure the contract of offensive tackle Riley Reiff to help create room for Yannick Ngakoue. Reiff had 2 years left on his deal. We're waiting to see the new deal, but I have a feeling that he will have the ability to become a free agent after this season. So Decker gets a new deal, and Reiff gets a restructured deal in Minnesota.
Marcus, go
ahead.
Yeah,
I'm going with Joe Burrow. Listen, been named the starter in Cincinnati. I think this is the beginning of what we are going to see as a long, successful career. And the possibility of the Ohio native turning around the Cincinnati Bengals franchise as long as they continue to build around him. They have their guy, and he's a damn good one.
Dan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, we've heard that the Texans are going to try and get Deshaun Watson locked up. You better, because he's going to be an MVP candidate this season. This is his best and most cohesive offensive line he's had since he came into the NFL. They got three guys that can go vertical with the ball or catch and run. I think Deshaun's going to have Houston in the mix in the playoffs and be on the shortlist for an MVP candidate.
Wow, Deshaun MVP. Yeah. Mina, go
spicy
ahead.
Spicy take. Resident Subway spokesman Bill Belichick was on tape praising new quarterback Cam Newton, his work ethic. Downright raves coming from Bill. Some people thought, well, maybe he's subtweeting Tom. Maybe it's a honeymoon thing. I think he's just telling Cam, you are my guy. This team is behind you.
Guys, let's go to Giants camp. I want you to see this video that just came in. It's Joe Judge participating in fumble drills. I'm not going to just talk about it. We're going to actually see it. It's coming, I promise. They're telling me in my ear that we're going to see it. Oh, there it is. Okay, so check it out. What do we got here? Oh, wow. Slip and slide. Oh, wait,
not
no.
Bad. Not bad. You'd like to see the hip hit first before the knee, but not bad.
Marcus, what do you think?
You know what? I love to see that. Yeah. I love to see that because I wonder if Joe Judge's tactics was going to be a part of what this team wanted to do. That's a great sign right there, Joe Judge. Get involved. Get dirty.
Mina, what do you think?
I'm into it. They're getting hype off of it. Marcus, you're right. I've been a little bit wary of some of the Judge stories, but this one I like.
Yeah, Shefty, it does feel like as we finish up here that they are going to have to make sure the laundry is pretty good after that whole drill, right?
Well, got to make sure a lot of different things to take care of in the NFL these days.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks, everybody.